All right. If you recall, we talked about Paul's work in the city of Ephesus near the end of his third missionary journey. This is part of our introduction to the letter of 1 John. The Apostle Paul was coming back from his third missionary journey. He stopped in a place called Miletus in order to meet with the elders in the city of Ephesus and to warn them that after he left, false teachers would come into the church and begin to challenge the truth of the gospel. Well, it's been a few years since Paul issued that warning in Acts chapter 20, and now the Apostle John is serving the church in Ephesus, and he's confronting the false teachers that Paul had said were on their way. Now, we said these false teachers were called Gnostics. It wouldn't be until the second century that Gnosticism would become a widespread problem in the church. But here at the end of the first century, John is beginning to address some of the false ideas. Now, the word Gnosticism, as you may recall, comes from the Greek word gnosis, which is the word in the Greek for knowledge. Now, Gnosticism or Gnostic is not the only word for knowledge, but it's one of the primary words. Because gnosis was such an important idea to these false teachers, John will talk a great deal about knowing, knowledge. In fact, that topic is brought up 40 times in this short epistle. 1 John's short letter, 40 times. The idea is if the false teachers want to spread false ideas about what it means to know God, John will talk a great deal more about the true meaning of what it means to know God. John will use the word gnosis 27 times in this little letter, 1 John. He will use it 4 times in the first 3 verses that we're going to look at this morning. So again, while the false teachers are promoting false ideas about knowledge, John will present the proper understanding of gnosis. Let's read now the first 3 verses in which the word gnosis is used 4 times. Verses 3 through 5. Here are John's words. We know, gnosis, that we have come to know, gnosis, him, if we obey his commandments. The man who says, I know him, gnosis, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and his truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is made complete or truly made complete in him. This is how we know, gnosis, we are in him. 4 times in these 3 verses. As you mentioned before, the Gnostics believed that salvation came by what you knew. And the Gnostics were presenting or teaching this special knowledge, and those who embraced the special knowledge were seen as saved. For the Gnostics, it was not what you did. What you did was not important. It's what you affirmed is knowledge. Now, last week, we saw this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through chapter 2, verse 22. There were people who claimed to know the truth, who claimed to know the light of God, but who were denying the sin in their lives. We said last week that this stemmed from that Gnostic idea that it's all about knowledge, what you had in your mind, and not the deeds that you did in your body. John refuted that idea in verse 10. If we claim we have not sinned, again, this is wrong deeds in the body, we make him into a liar, and his truth has no place in our lives. Now, in our verses this morning, verses 3-5. John is saying that true knowledge of God will manifest itself in obedience to the Word of God. It will manifest itself in our bodies. John is saying that what we do in our bodies is evidence that we have true knowledge of God. Remember, the Gnostics were not very much interested in moral conduct. They were only interested in possessing the right set of knowledge, truths, ideas. Last week we introduced that word, antinomianism. That was the idea that the law was not important. John says that's not true. Instead, obedience to the law of God. God's moral standards in our life, they are important. Now, John is not telling us that we're saved because of our moral conduct. We all fall short of the glory of God. We mentioned that last time. But what John is saying is that following God's moral standards is evidence that we've been saved through our fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. Obedience is evidence that we are saved. John tells us much about the words of Jesus. To the same effect, Jesus says in John chapter 13, verse 35, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." It is being a disciple of Jesus that saves us. But being a follower of Jesus will manifest itself in obedience to his commandments, by loving one another, by doing the things that God has called us to do. Now, we've mentioned this idea of the Gnostics several times in our letter. And it's not, as we mentioned before, this idea that we are in danger of embracing the ideas of Gnosticism. But there's a lot of valuable lessons that we can learn from John's words to the Gnostics. Now, I know and I'm trusting that we understand that we are not saved by possessing special knowledge. But there is a tendency in some of us to prioritize what we know over what we do. Do we sometimes put more time and effort into Bible study than into loving each other? Do we spend more time and effort and energy feeding our own minds with good Christian teaching or in feeding the needy of the world? Did Jesus say that we will demonstrate that we are his disciples by going to church and listening to sermons or by loving one another, obeying his commandments? The lesson we should learn from 1 John is that it is by keeping the commandments of God that we will show that we know God. It's not about possessing a vast knowledge of the Bible. It's about letting our lives show forth God's love, obeying his commandments. We talked last week about the importance of having assurance in our salvation. We said last week that the assurance we have in our salvation is based on the fact that it was Jesus who accomplished the work of our salvation upon the cross, and it is a finished work. It's not something that we do. John said that Jesus is our atoning sacrifice. It is his shed blood that secures our salvation, not our deeds, not our works. This gives us great assurance. Our theme this week, our love for one another. Our obedience is a demonstration of our salvation. This also brings to us assurance. If you want to know for certain that you are saved, we only need to look at our obedience of his commandments. As we obey the commands of Jesus, we demonstrate to ourselves and others that we are his children. This relates to what we've already said about the Gnostic teachers of John's day. Again, the Gnostics were claiming that it was in affirming a certain set of knowledge. John's pointing out that these false teachers were walking in darkness. This was real evidence that they did not know the truth. They did not walk in the light of God. John is pointing out that the fact that they were living in sin while claiming that they did not is evidence that they had it all wrong. Same principle applies for us today. If we really want to know that we're walking in the light of God, we need to examine whether or not we are walking in the light of God, whether or not we are obeying his commandments, whether or not we are truly loving each other. As Jim was sharing testimony this morning, he talked about the love that he feels in this place. When we love one another, we demonstrate that we are his disciples. This is great evidence, and it gives us even greater assurance than what we may think about God or think about God's word. Again, we're not saved by obeying God's commandments, but we do demonstrate that we are in fellowship with God when we are obeying his commandments. Again, John 13, verse 35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It is our love for one another that demonstrates that we are his disciples. Not our vast knowledge of the Bible. Now we do love the Bible and we love to study the Bible, but it's our love for one another that's the key. That's evidence that we are in fellowship with God. When we did our study in the book of James, we looked at James chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23. Remember the words of encouragement from John? Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. And then verse 25. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, will be blessed in what he does. This is what we have been emphasizing here this morning. It's not merely being a student of God's word that's important. Rather, it is doing God's word, obeying God's word. That's the key. We are to be doers of the word and not merely hearers of the word. Let's go back to 1 John, now verses 5 and 6. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him or walk must walk as Jesus did. So John's making a connection between the love of God and obedience to God. We obey God because we know the love of God. In fact, this same principle could be illustrated in so many of our relationships. A relationship that's grounded in love will manifest itself. We are willing to submit to and obey someone that we love, and we know that they love us. Think about this. We generally will not trust or obey a stranger because we don't know the love of that stranger. However, we will trust and obey a loving spouse, a loving parent, dear friend, because we know that person who loves us has our interest at heart. The relationship of love will manifest itself in trust and in obedience. Do we love God? That will be seen in our obedience of God. When we fail to trust and obey God, we are demonstrating that we really do not believe or find confidence in the love of God. Again, the same principle applies in our relationships with one another. A parent, a spouse, a close friend. The true nature of the relationship with another will be demonstrated on how we trust and submit to and obey the other. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. You know, a close friend could say to you, you know, if you love me, you would trust me because you know I have your best interests at heart. A spouse could say to you, you know, if you love me, you'd submit to me because, again, you know I have your best interests at heart. Obey God. Submit to God. Trust God. Because God has your best interest at heart. That's what the love of God is all about. Do we know that God loves us? Do we love God? As we think about the relationship between the love of God and obedience of God's commands, we should note that one of the great ironies of our day is that there are some who will disobey God in the name of the love of God. What do we mean by this? Well, some people tout the love of God as the reason that they should accept all manner of behaviors that God has specifically forbidden. In other words, behaviors that God has commanded us not to do. People will ignore the commands of God in the name of the love of God. God does love all people, but God's love does not allow any of us to disobey the commands of God. Rather, the obedience of God's commands is the demonstration of what the love of God really requires. Instead of allowing and accepting all manner of disobedience, the love of God should spur us on to even greater obedience. And again, no one ever loved as much as Jesus loved. No one ever obeyed the Father as much as Jesus obeyed the Father. And Jesus leaves to us an example of what it means to live a life of love and a life of obedience. That's why John encourages us to think about Jesus when we think about living a life of love and living a life of obedience. So much of what John tells us in this letter, 1 John, are truths that Jesus shared with his disciples on that last night that he was with them before his betrayal and death on the cross. That's why we're citing so many passages from John chapter 13 through John chapter 17. That's the section of Scripture where Jesus is with his disciples and sharing with them so much about the love of God and the obedience for God. John was with Jesus on that particular evening, and he shares so much of what Jesus had to say in his gospel. Again, chapter 13 through chapter 17. And we also see so many of those same words and same themes here in 1 John. Listen now to the words of Jesus. This is now from John's gospel, chapter 15, beginning in verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Doesn't that sound like a verse we just looked at in 1 John? Now verse 12, my command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. This is what Jesus did for each of us. He demonstrated his love for us by laying down his life for us. And he wants us to turn around and do the very same thing. We demonstrate our love for God by obeying his commandments. We demonstrate our love for others by likewise obeying God's commandments. We would go a long way toward loving others if we simply obeyed God's commandments in our actions towards other people. Speaking of love, John goes on to address this command of love in verses 7 and 8. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing to you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you. This command to love. Is it a new command? Is it an old command? John tells us that it's both. How is that? Well, first of all, it's an old command. It is God's command to us from the beginning. We saw that language of from the beginning in the opening verses of 1 John. God has been telling us from the beginning to love one another. One day Jesus was questioned about the greatest commandment of God. I hope we're familiar with this passage, Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Jesus is actually quoting to us from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Leviticus chapter 9 in issuing these two commands. From the beginning, from the books of Moses that start our Bible, God has been telling us to love one another. The commandment is old. Well, why is it important to remember how old this commandment is? Well, as we talked about last week, it's to distinguish this teaching from that new teaching of the Gnostics. See, the Gnostics were interested in proclaiming a new knowledge. They were more interested in teaching a new knowledge than in encouraging people to engage in the oldest of God's commandments, to love one another. John is telling us that we need to love one another and to love God. Not chase after new knowledge that the Gnostics may be offering. It's a back to the basics kind of a message. So why does John also call this same commandment a new commandment? And by the way, Jesus also calls it a new commandment. John chapter 13, verse 34, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. So what makes it new? What makes it new? Well, there's two things that make it new. First, that God has demonstrated his love to us in a unique way in his Son. And secondly, that God has poured out his love into our hearts in a unique way in these last days. John states these two features, the last part of verse 8. Its truth, or we could say this truth, is seen in him and in you. First in him. You know, God has always loved us. But how is God able to demonstrate that love for us? Well, the truth is he had to wait until the right time in order to fully demonstrate his love for us. John tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son. God's love has not changed since the beginning, but God has been able to display that love in a new way by sending us his Son. Something new has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ. God's love is perfected in Christ. Secondly, this new truth is seen in us. In these last days, God has poured out his love into our hearts. Romans 5:5. God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. After Jesus completed his ministry, God sent the Holy Spirit into our lives. And with the Holy Spirit, we now have new access to the love of God. God has poured his very love into our hearts. This relates to the new covenant that God established with us in Jesus Christ. This new covenant relates to the Lord's table that we'll partake of together at the end of the service. Recall the words of Jeremiah chapter 31 as he talks about this new covenant. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. Now, think about this. The exodus from Egypt, that was an act of God's love. He loved his people and he brought them out of their enslavement. However, it wasn't a full manifestation of God's love. God's love was able to be fully revealed, made complete, when he sent his own Son to die for us. Returning to Jeremiah, now verse 32, this is the covenant I made with the house of Israel after that time. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. We can also add to this what we saw in Romans 5:5. God will pour out his love into our hearts. God had demonstrated his love for us He did that in Christ Jesus. He wants us to know what it means to truly love. God demonstrated his love for us in Christ Jesus. He poured out his love into our hearts, and he tells us, now, love one another. It's indeed a new commandment, but it's also an old commandment. From the very beginning to the very end, God would have us love one another, obey his commandments, to lay down our lives for one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this wonderful demonstration of your love for us. We also know that in order to truly know the fellowship with the Father, we need to obey the commands of Jesus. He has told us to love one another. He has told us to obey his commandments, and that it is in obeying his commandments that we show our love for him. Help us to continue to be a people who love God first and who love one another. Help us to be a people who obey the commands of Jesus, because it is in obeying the commands of Jesus that we will show the world that we are indeed his disciples. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.